other, but tonight, I don't know how many of you have seen the show Undercover Boss. And I confess, like a lot of these others, I've never seen it. But I know enough about it to know what it's about. They take someone who's high up in the company, president, CEO, or somebody in that high position of authority in a company, and then they bring them to some little local outlet of their particular company and act like they're a new employee. And so this person who's really a big wig with the company gets to be put through the training and all of the lower rung activities. And they talked about one where there's a place that has a water park, and so the boss gets in there as the little man on the totem pole, so to speak, and well, some little kid is not. And so there's some stuff floating in the pool, and guess what? You're the little kid, but you go scoop it out of there. So there's a little kid, it helps, in these cases, it helps the bosses to know what it's like to be an employee of those companies. Well, it's interesting because I'm a boss, and I don't mean your boss at your secular job that you work. When I say I'm a boss, I mean the boss that all of us share. Jesus is our master. He's our boss. He did exactly that. He came to this earth in the form of a servant. He was born. He was a little baby that had to be taken care of. He was a little boy, grew up, went through the teenage years, with puberty and all of the changes that come with that. He went through all those things. I know during our meeting, one of the preachers mentioned briefly the song, Lord God Will Deliver Us, and talked about not liking that particular song. But the fact of the matter is that God did become one of us. That's what Jesus was. He was one of us. And as one of us, he showed us that servant's attitude. He did not come as a king that reigned and lived in a castle or some sort of big palace. No. He was born and laid in a manger. He was wandered from here to there. He had to go down to Egypt the first part of his life. I know it's scary to the middle of some Texas rain. If wet stuff falls out of the sky, I know we haven't seen any in a long time, but that is what that is. I know because a couple of weeks ago when I was visiting North Carolina, they had some of those there. And I thought it's been almost kind of like hail coming down there for a minute. But they had a little bit. I don't know. They're probably still there before. Can I preach to it with it? I remember last time I said it, I said, no, I'm going to quit it. So, this time you may say yes, and then it'll last 3 hours. So, never mind. So, anyway, the idea then for that undercover boss is that these employees, they take their training and their employee, but really, that's their boss. Well, how do you think your boss would respond if you mistreated him the way, new person coming into a situation often gets mistreated. If you go mistreating that person and then find out, oops, that was the boss. We talked this morning about Matthew chapter 25, and we talked about the wicked there and I say wicked, I use the term, we talked about the fact that they were. It wasn't that they did bad things, it was just that they didn't do the good things they should have done. And so we may fall into that same boat sometimes. But if we look back to verse number 34, after Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, when Jesus has separated the sheep from the goats, the Son of Man has done this, and verse 34 says, then the king shall say unto them on his right hand, come and be blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hunger, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Now, imagine standing before God's throne, and Jesus being there, and Him saying that to us. That, you know, I was sick, and you visited me. I was naked, and you clothed me. If He said that to us, well, what would our response be? Wait a minute, Jesus would have too found it without us. Jesus wouldn't even know the earth when I lived. How could that be? And that's what the other response was. Was the Lord, when did we see you this way? When did we see you hungry or thirsty? When were you a stranger to us? When were you naked? We don't remember that happening. And what does Jesus respond to them? Jesus responds to them, as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Every day of our lives, Jesus, through others, plays that role like the undercover boss. He's watching us to see how we treat each other. He's watching to see, am I going to snub that person, or am I going to offer them help? Am I going to give, or am I going to selfishly reject it? Now, obviously, we're not talking about when you don't have it to give. If you don't have it to give, you don't have it to give, and Jesus knows that as well. But He's wondering, and He's watching. And on that show, I don't know how they convince people. You know, you come in with the whole camera crew, it's kind of hard to say, oh, this is just a new employee. I'm not sure exactly how they convinced them. Maybe we're shooting a training video. maybe, I don't know, because obviously companies do shoot training videos. So maybe that's how they try to explain the camera crew away. But you have to wonder how they explain that away. Well, with Jesus, there aren't any cameras. There's no hidden microphones or hidden. There's no hint that He's there watching us, other than the fact that He told us that He's watching. He knows what we're doing. He's there with us each and every day. And so we're left with the choice. How am I going to treat my fellow brother or sister in Christ? How am I going to treat my fellow man? Or the woman is the case, maybe. What am I going to do? Because sometimes we'll act differently when we think nobody's watching. And sometimes it's amazing that it's like we forget that Jesus sees it all. That Jesus knows it all. And we'll lie. We'll tell stories, however you want to express that, but we won't tell the truth about things. We'll change our behavior and be two-faced. We'll be just as sweet as we can be to their face and then turn around and talk about them behind their back. But we've got to realize when we do that to each other, we're doing that to Jesus. Would you do that to Jesus? Would you talk about Jesus behind His back? Well, you do. Every time you talk about a brother or sister in Christ behind the back, you're talking about Jesus. Would you say some of those things that you say to Jesus, to His face? Some of the things that we say to our brothers and sisters in Christ? Sometimes we can be pretty mean and heartless with each other. Would we do that if that was Jesus standing there? Well, guess what? It is. I know we're not really Jesus. We know He's in heaven waiting for us, but that's what He says. He says, if you've done it, pardon me, if you've done it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it to me. This goes hand in hand with what we were talking about this morning about doing as others we have been doing as us. How do we want Jesus to treat us on the day of judgment? Do we want him to say, welcome, come on in? Or do we want him to say, depart from me, the workers of iniquity? Well, what's going to determine which of those two things he says to us? How we treat each other here. This is what determines it. This is the regular season, and it determines whether we get to go to the playoffs or not, so to speak. And we're here for only a short time. Eternity is an awfully long time. Is it worth that little bit of happiness when you really get a good jab in at somebody? Is it worth the little bit of laughter and humor when we make fun of somebody behind their back to somebody else, and we both get a little chuckle out of it for a few seconds? Is it worth it to risk all of eternity for just a few moments of pleasure? The teenagers that we watched the series on sex during the youth day. And that's one of the main questions that's asked is it worth the price that you're going to have to pay? Can you afford it? Do you want to have to suffer the consequences of those decisions that you make? And sometimes we don't realize that those little moments. Because, you know, I know a lot of us have done some bad things in our lives that we consider, oh, well, that was really bad. Well, I really did something bad back when I wasn't a Christian, and I did this or I did that, or I used to be this kind of person or that kind of person. But most of us are not going to be lost because we murdered, or because we even were thieves. We're not going to be lost because we're kidnappers. We're not even, most of us, going to be lost because of the fact that we weren't faithful in our marriages. We're not going to be lost because we abused our children. That's not the reason most of us, that if we're lost, that's not going to be the reason. It's not going to be the big things that get most people who confess to be Christians, profess to be Christians. The thing that will get most of the people who profess to be Christians are the things that we call the little things. But Jesus doesn't necessarily consider them so little. Let's look at chapter 1. Let's think about this as we think about that undercover gossip. You know, can you imagine if the boss came in and hanging under you, and you're teaching the boss how to do this, that, or the other thing, and they don't get it right the first time, and you mistreat them? I mean, not a big, I'm not saying that, you know, to beat them up or anything, but you just make fun of them and go, you know, you're really stupid, you can't get that, I've got that the first time, I tried it, it's not hard. And then when you get that little pink slip that makes you know you don't have a job in a few days after testing it's all over, and they go back to being the boss again, and you find out you don't have a job because they know that however you treated them is the way you treat other employees. And just, whatever, so what about, you didn't do anything for the company? I didn't do anything bad. But it's actually not either. Sometimes we have this concept that some sins are bad sins, and we go to help those. But other sins are just, you know, they're just little sins, and they're no big deal. I want to notice something in Romans chapter 1. In Romans 1 and verse 28, Paul says, even if they did not like retaining God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now, that doesn't sound so bad. I mean, oh, just doing things that aren't convenient, well, you know, that's not so bad. Convenient means Another translation translates that they're not prosper. You say, well, we have all these things that are stopped. They're just not a big deal. But he has linked together with the phrase, a reprobate mind. Well, what's a reprobate mind? A reprobate mind is a mind that is depraved. It's backwards. It's the opposite of what it should be. It's rebellious. And I'll be honest with you, a lot of times we have a rebellious mind. We tend to think that a lot of people have got to do as long as it's convenient for me. That's what he said. He said to do those things were convenient. We'll do whatever God wants as long as it's not too far. As long as it's easy, I'll do it. But notice what he says to them here. It says, being filled with all unrighteousness. That's really bad. Well, anything that's not righteousness is unrighteousness. So let's see what he says about it. Fornication. I'll get some there where we say, well, yeah, we know what I'm doing. But, you know, sometimes you can't help yourself, right? I mean, you know. Got needs. Got to take care of them. That's unrighteousness, fornication. Wickedness. Covetousness. I just need a nicer dress. I just need a bigger TV. I need a better car. Do we really need those things? Covetousness. Getting in there and getting this. Maliciousness. Full of envy. You ever see somebody that new car? Oh, I wish I could have that car. It's not fair that they did it, but I can't have it. We're very tempted by that envy. Oh, how could I make that? We're very envy sometimes. And right there next to that envy is murder. He could just be jealous because he else got something that you wanted. He puts that right next to killing somebody with a car or murdering somebody. He just puts right there next to each other like they're equal in his eyes. I wonder why he did that. Could look at the debate. Now this guy obviously isn't talking about the form of debate or anything. But I think he's talking about just being full of pride. Kind of person with all these arguments. Every point, no matter what, we've got to argue about it. We've got to make a big deal about it. Try to be right about everything. Well, I was right. I wouldn't have an argument. A lot of folks do it. Wouldn't a bunch of arguments lose their soul? You can be right and still be wrong. Does it make sense? You understand what I'm saying? You can be right about the point trying to make, but in the way that you are argumentative about it and couldn't be across, you still be wrong. Even though you're right about the point. Just because you're a debater. Notice what it says, deceit. Deceit, that's not even a flat out lie. Maybe you spoke part of the truth. You get on with my kids all the time about this. When they tell you a part of the truth. And I know how that is. I just don't know the kids do. And it says, where did I stop by the store? Okay. 63 hours? That's something, maybe some of these girls might take 3 hours if they stop at the store, but me, I'd actually just sit 3 hours in the store if I was being held hostage, okay? And 3 hours in the store is just out of, there is no way. That's sort of the question. But I didn't tell them that after I stopped by the store, I maybe bought some snacks and things and went over to my friend's house and spent 3 hours playing Nintendo or something, you know, right? That's where I was most of that time, right? That part, I just thought about it, I had to go by the store. And we're deceitful many times. We deceive people. That's the thing that we say sometimes. Malignity. That word just sounds bad. Malignity. You know, that malignity can kind of bring to mind the idea of a cancer, doesn't it? And a malignant tumor. But we don't want malignity in our lives. That's some malice, some hatred, some evil thinking in our minds. And then whisper kind of goes along with the idea of being a gossip. Whispering, telling secrets about somebody. Backbiters. You know, but some of these things, well, we can do that. But then that's right in that we saw murder or this. I don't want to do that. I don't want to kill anybody. And then next one. Haters of God. That's right there next to the person who whispers and backbites. And yet we never think that the person that gossips about them, we need to put them in the same ballpark as somebody who hated God. But that's not the same. They're not equal. There's no way near each other. I mean, hating God, that's really bad. But God, but then, you know, that's just, they just talking. There's no harm meant by that. God put them right there next to each other. Right together. Those are the spiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. You young people, you wish that one wasn't in the list. But I know we get to be there. Y'all have never been disobedient to your parents, have you? Don't lie. Don't answer. That was a rhetorical question. Don't get yourself in that deception that we talked about. It's bad enough you were disobedient to your parents. Don't lie about it on top of everything else. And then he goes on. Without understanding, covenant breakers. Without natural affection. Implacable. Unmerciful. You know, we've gone through this list before, I know. But there's a reason we go through it again and again. Because we're still getting it. We're still, in our minds, we've still got this human mindset that, well, these are the big things over here, and they're bad, and I've got to do them. But here's the little things over here, and they're okay, and they're not a big deal. And I'm saying, employees do the same thing with rules of the handbook. Well, these are the big things. Don't do this, and then you'll get fired for that. But, you know, they don't really care to do that. Don't worry about that one so much. That's not a big deal. It might be if the boss was undercover on you. But that boss is probably the one that wrote those rules in that handbook. And in a lot of cases, there's a good reason for them. So what if Jesus were here watching us? Because he is. He's right here. And I think because we don't do the pretty things, then we're going to be all right. Good luck to the little things. Because he doesn't think they're little. In fact, I can confidently say, we can finish before you jump out of your seat. I can confidently say, there will be at least one mass murderer
heaven. And yet there will be a lot of people who never committed a single murder that will be. All of us will be there. This is not the situation he talks about, he's finishing his course, there's a crowd waiting for him in heaven. There's not that much money. We're going to get meet Paul there. He was a mass murderer. Look at how many Christians he killed. It's like a chain line. But there's going to be a lot of people. People who claim to be Christians. Never killed anybody. Oh, never murdered anybody. That's a bad, bad thing. But Paul is going to be in heaven. And some of us aren't going to get to be there if we don't straighten our lives up. Because the boss is watching. It doesn't have to be undercover. He's everything we do every day. Think about God. If you knew the boss was going to be watching you, maybe if you knew they were going to have a camera in wherever you're working, and it was going to be watching the video texting you for the boss to review it in your shift. Would you be a different employee? Would you work differently? What about Christian life? If we hire somebody to follow you around with a camera 24 hours a day, would you live a different Christian life than you do? I think if we're honest, all of us would probably have to, I'd have to change a few things. There's some things, and I'm not talking about, the camera's not going to follow you in the bathroom, or follow you while you're changing the clothes or something. I'm not talking about that. But if it was just following your everyday activities, the things that you did day in and day out, would you be comfortable with it following you where you go? And then, Tuesday, things that you say Thursday and Friday, would you be comfortable with that? If not, then you need to make some changes in your life. Because there may not be a camera crew following you around, but Jesus sees it all. Just because the elders aren't there with you, just because I don't see you or another church member doesn't see you, that really didn't happen. We've got to lie to ourselves. Because really, a lot of times, we're the only ones we're really fooling. But if we don't know the truth, God will send us that strong delusion and allow us to believe a lie. He will let us believe that because we didn't do this bad thing, that's okay, and I'm all right with God, even though I am a reprobate. Even though I am a savior of God. But I put on this facade of, oh, I just love God. Love is shown in its action. Our boss is undercover with us each and every day. Not just for a few hours or a couple of weeks to TV show. He's with us every day. Everywhere we go, everything we do, he is right there with us. Saying that I won't go any further, that Jesus can't go with me. I won't say anything that I can't say to Jesus. You not even think. I know it's hard to control those thoughts, but put them on you before you're ready for them. But you not dwell on those thoughts that we couldn't think with Jesus in our heart and mind. Because Jesus is supposed to be in our heart and mind. We need to be thinking on good things. So, for it goes. If you're here tonight, and perhaps you've been living your life thinking that you get away with whatever you get away with, My brother kept thinking. The boy was watching. And you may get away with it as far as everybody on earth is concerned. There are many people who would go to their graves with other people thinking, what the wonderful folks they were. And they're just there to live in the day of judgment. And Jesus will say, oh, dear one that came, depart from me. Don't be one of those people. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't deceive yourselves. Live your life every day knowing that Jesus is watching. Hey, everyone, he's not watching out of who I can't wait till they get such something. That was the lightning bolt. No. He doesn't want us to mess up. He doesn't want us to lose our salvation, but he is watching. Every day. You're here and you have an each responsible invitation. Even an initial obedience to the gospel to become a child of God. You can do that by believing, repenting of your sins, confessing him as the Christ, and watching them away from baptism, watching those sins away from baptism, and then living faithful lives. You're here and you are a Christian, but perhaps you haven't been living as you should. You may need to correct that. You may need to start over again and start a new life. One that takes into account the fact that Jesus is with you every day. Your people don't have any choice on the fact that you do so as we stand and as we stand.